Friends, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a story about a Catholic priest who was working in the inner city, and he was walking down the alley one evening when a young man came up behind him and put a knife against his back and said, "Give me all your money." And the priest, he opened his jacket pocket and reached into his inner pocket to remove his wallet, and he exposed his clerical collar. And the young man said, Oh, sorry, Father. I didn't see your collar. I don't want your money." And the priest was still pretty shooken up about this, and he takes out a cigar from his shirt pocket, and he offers it to the young man. He said, "Here, have a cigar." "Oh, no, I can't do that, Father," the young man said. "I gave up cigars for Lent." So I think that we all know that there's something a little bit more to Lent than giving stuff up, right? So today is Ash Wednesday, and for us it begins Lent. And Christians have been celebrating Ash Wednesday since Pope Urban in 1099 gave today its name. So followers of Jesus have been coming forward for 1,000 years in order to receive ashes on their forehead as a sign of repentance for their sin. Ash Wednesday is celebrated actually 46 days before Easter. Now we talk a lot about the 40 days of Lent, But really, starting from today until Easter, it's 46 days, and that's because we don't celebrate or remember Lent on Sundays. And so there are 6 Sundays between now and then. So Sundays are what we call mini Easters. So if you gave up something like cigars, then you can go ahead and have them on Sunday. So this season of the church year is when we ponder our lives. It's when we repent of our sins and concentrate on discipleship as a response and in preparation of what Jesus does on the cross and at the resurrection. So during Lent, we talk a lot about sin. See, some believe that admitting we are sinful is the same as having low self-esteem. And on the other, others equate sin with immorality. So on the one hand, some believe that sin is this antiquated notion that only makes us feel bad about ourselves, so therefore we shouldn't talk about it. And on the other hand, some of the church say that sin is exactly the same as immorality, and it's just totally avoidable if we are good, perfect Christians. But when sin is boiled down to low self-esteem or immorality, then it becomes something that we can control. It becomes something that we can somehow limit ourselves. We have the power to stop it. But that's not what sin is. Sin is actually something that we are in bondage to. A preacher who I follow, Nadia Boltz Weber, she's in Denver, Colorado, she says this: "The reality is that I cannot free myself from the bondage of self. I cannot by my own understanding or effort disentangle myself from my own interests. And when I think that I can, I'm basically trying to do what's God's work." Martin Luther, he defined sin in there's a Latin phrase for it. It's incurvatus in se. I know, right? Who knows Latin? Incurvatus in se. But what that means is that we are turned, are curved in on ourselves. And the image he's trying to conjure is that we walk through life, we walk gazing at our navels. That we're concentrated on our own self-interests. So sin is ultimately self-centeredness, not trusting God. See, Adam and Eve, their problem wasn't that they plucked a piece of fruit or that they broke one of God's rules, or God's only rule at that time. Their problem was that they were incurvatus inse. They wanted to be like God. They were relying on their own information rather than looking up and trusting God. Our specific sinful behaviors, whatever your favorite sin is, hatred, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, gossip, drunkenness, dishonoring your parents, we've all done that, right? Adultery, lust, stealing, whatever your favorite sin is, these aren't the problem. These are symptoms of the real problem. See, when somebody's sick and they have the flu, and the symptoms can be a fever, a cough, a sore throat, runny nose, whatever the flu symptoms are, but those symptoms, those aren't the problem themselves, right? They're symptoms that somebody actually has a virus, a deeper issue. So it's the virus that's the problem. And it's the virus that causes the symptoms. See, when we treat the symptoms, we're actually not fixing the real problem. See, God actually has to attack within us a deeper issue. See, all of the sins that we commit, they're just symptoms of our self-centeredness and and the untrusting virus that we all have called original sin. And we know that we have this virus because the symptoms, they're always coming out of us. And friends, there's absolutely nothing that we can do to rid ourselves of this virus. And it's during Lent that we look to the healer. It's during Lent that we look to Jesus to come and attack sin within us. It's Jesus who is able to heal. So on this Ash Wednesday, today we acknowledge that we live untrusting of God. Soon in our service, we're going to have a chance to confess and to repent of our sin from turning away from God, and I'm going to put ashes on your forehead. And some might wonder, well, why do we use, why ashes on Ash Wednesday? Well, there's three reasons. The first is that ashes remind us of God's condemnation of sin with Adam. Very back in the book of Genesis, God told Adam, dust you are, and to dust you will return. The second is that ashes actually represent cleansing and renewal. In ancient times, ashes were used for cleaning when other kinds of soaps weren't available. And lastly, ashes remind us of the shortness of human life. At almost every funeral, you'll hear earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. See, ultimately, ashes are a symbol and a reminder of our repentance, our confession of sin, and our return to God. Ashes on the forehead remind us of our return to God this Lenten season. They remind us that God provides cleansing and renewal, and they also show us one day what will be when we die. See, we mark ourselves publicly at the beginning of Lent as an entrance rite into these 40 days to prepare ourselves for Jesus' death and resurrection. But today is only the beginning. Today is about repentance, but it doesn't end here. We're called to continued discipleship this Lenten season. We're called to 40 days of intentionally following Jesus. In our scripture today, we're reminded of the three disciplines of Lent. They're ways for us to draw closer to God: almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. See, when we practice almsgiving, we're picking up our head and we're looking outside of our own desires with our giving. We look up from our nasal giving to the interest of others, and we give generously to those in need. When we give to others generously, we are giving to Jesus himself. And drawing closer to God through that. There is freedom in giving away. Prayer. Jesus, anytime he wanted to connect with the Father, prayed and went off by himself and prayed. It was the channel through which he kept communication open. When we pray, we are submitting ourselves to God. We are giving up time in order to be in relationship with God. And we're abandoning our own self-interest and ultimately asking God to lead us. And fasting. Whether we fast from chocolate or Girl Scout cookies or our favorite fast food or TV, during Lent we deprive ourselves of some small pleasure and indulgence and offer up that as a sacrifice to God. I mean, we might even give up a bad habit as a way of positively turning our lives to God. But Lent isn't just about giving up stuff. See, it's about embracing and growing into your identity as a disciple of Jesus. It's about reflecting on Jesus and what the cross means to you and what the resurrection does for you. It's about looking towards Easter. And then from there, taking Easter with you. So, friends, today we confess and repent. But tomorrow we dust off our ashes and we follow Jesus wherever he leads us. Friends, may this Lenten season you draw closer to God. May you give generously. May you pray fervently. And may you fast as sacrifice. Amen.